This is Agriculture Today.
Expanding beef imports from Argentina would do little to reduce U.S. prices. That's according to Dr. Daryl Peel, livestock marketing specialist at Oklahoma State University. In his latest analysis, Peel explains that while Argentina is the world's fifth largest beef exporter, its role in the U.S. supply remains small, accounting for just 2.1% of total imports so far this year. Argentina consumes 70 to 75% of its own beef, and it leaves limited export capacity. Now, even if the U.S. doubled 2024 level imports, Peel estimates the added volume would barely affect total U.S. beef supply and could only occur at the expense of Argentina's domestic or other export markets. He says at most, it might have a very slight and probably undetectable impact of moderating expected future increases in U.S. ground beef prices. Most Argentine shipments, lean processing beef used for ground beef blending, it's similar to Brazilian imports and far smaller in scale. Peel notes that record U.S. beef imports have already helped offset reduced domestic non-fed beef output and stabilized ground beef prices, but additional tonnage from Argentina would probably not change the market trajectory. Ethanol's role in decarbonizing global transportation took center stage on Tuesday at the Global Ethanol Summit in Washington, D.C. It's where industry leaders and scientists explore new frontiers in sustainable fuel applications from jet fuel to shipping. Former U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz opened the day by emphasizing ethanol's central role in the energy transition, calling it the only scalable, low-carbon, affordable fuel available today. These sessions reflected growing interest in ethanol's compatibility with aviation, maritime, and advanced vehicle systems. Panels led by experts from the National Renewable Energy Lab, Cruise Lines International, and Growth Energy examined both policy and infrastructure needs for scaling ethanol to jet, that's sustainable aviation fuel, and marine fuel production. And industry leaders noted that more than 100 million tons of ethanol already produced annually, it's a figure that could double as global shipping seeks cleaner fuels. Airline representatives from Delta, United, and Airbus said collaboration, though, will be essential to expand sustainable aviation fuel, which currently accounts for less than 1% of U.S. jet fuel demand. A bigger Australian harvest is helping swell world grain supplies, weighing on prices heading into 2026. National production for the 2025-26 season forecast at 64.2 million tons. It's up 5.2 million or 8.8% from last year. And it's supported by widespread rainfall across key grain belts. Western Australia could record its second largest crop on record. Queensland and northern New South Wales continue to benefit from strong soil moisture reserves. And this is Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So unfortunately, this has been the longest government shutdown, full shutdown in history.
Cody Besant is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers.
We've had some historical shutdowns in previous years, so like 2018, 2019, that was a partial shutdown. And what I mean by that is we still had some programs that were deemed essential, so they could function even though the government was in sort of a little bit of a hiatus or chaos. This one is truly a full formal government shutdown. And so it has had a lot more implications on programs like you mentioned, the marketing assistance loan that producers typically will utilize in the event that we see very low systemic prices for cash flow purposes. And we're currently in that process right now, unfortunately. And so that program is offline, for lack of a better term, and ceases to function. So if a grower harvests their crop, takes to the gin processes it, then gets a quality grade back, and the grower wants to then put it into the marketing assistance loan, or if they have cotton in the marketing assistance loan, they cannot put it in the loan or redeem it for cash flow purposes. And so it's a mechanism, it's a risk management tool that is unfortunately ceasing to function during this time. Moreover, an important factor as well is you've got agency employees like FSA employees, USDA employees, government employees in general that have been furloughed. And so there's no warm bodies there, for lack of a better term, to be able to operate these programs. And more importantly, because of the impact of the shutdown, they're not able to receive their normal compensation, whether it be an hourly wage or a salary. So they're having to live off bar money credit, trying to be creative. And that's unfortunate and certainly problematic as we move forward.
And the government shutdown is adding to the angst.
The talks are still relatively ongoing, and we appreciate the administration for recognizing as they continue to negotiate trade agreements to put them in a position of strength, but also recognize the fact that the row crop industry and other ag industry in general is in financial peril. The positive thing about this is that once the government shuts on, then hopefully the assistance will come out very immediately. They are having private discussions behind closed doors, for lack of a better term, in a positive way, though. But they can't do anything from an assistance-based standpoint until they turn everything back on. And what I mean by that, not the administration, but the U.S. government in general, the House and Senate, being able to open everything back up, because that is where you have the employees that can still handle the applications, to process the applications, to look at everything, to make sure everything is germane. And that's essentially what they're waiting on. But there is still some robust conversations being had to provide some much needed help in the dire straits of need. It's just a matter of fact of can we get and when we get everything turned back on to be able to process everything and move it out of the countryside.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I'm going to see President Xi in 2 weeks.
Speaking to Republican senators on Tuesday in the Rose Garden, President Donald Trump.
I'm going over to South Korea. We're going to meet in South Korea. We're going to talk about a lot of things. They want to discuss the fact that they're paying 157% tariff. It's a little higher than they thought. And we're doing very well. I think we're going to do well in that negotiation. We've done well, as you know, with Japan, with South Korea, with Europe. The European nations got together. We made a deal. And it was all based without the tariffs. You could have never made the deal. I'll tell you what. Tariffs equal national security. Remember that. Tariffs equal national security. You got to remember that. And they also equal wealth for our nation, because we've taken in hundreds of billions of dollars in a very friendly manner, given to us by nations that used to take it from us. And they used tariffs on us. We never used it on them because we were foolish, or we were led by people that weren't business people. But it really does. It equals national security. And I wouldn't have put out, I mentioned 8 wars, 9 coming. Of the 8, 5 were based solely on trade and tariffs. India, Pakistan were going at it. 2 nuclear powers and serious nuclear, 7 planes shot down. They were ready to go. And I called them up. I said, you go to war and we're not doing a trade deal. And they said, well, what does one thing have to do with the other? I said, it has a lot. Your nuclear powers. And if you do it, we're not doing a trade deal. And 24 hours later, they called me. We have decided not to do it. We stopped the war. We stopped the potential disaster, a nuclear disaster, because of trade. And it's been really amazing. But the tariffs have made us a wealthy country. They've given us tremendous defense. They've given us things that we can do for other countries, very positive. But again, really, it's national security, it's national defense, and they are so important. And it's incredible that presidents, for the most part, didn't know how to use them, when to use them. If you go back, you'll see some of the presidents that were the most successful were believers in tariffs. And I even see foreign countries now that we are doing very well with taking ads. Don't go with tariffs. They're taking ads. I saw an ad last night from Canada. If I was Canada, I'd take that same ad also. But they're actually on television taking ads. But I do believe that everybody's too smart for that. We have a very, very big and important case coming up. We should win the case based on the legal merit. We should also win the case based on all of the things I just said. But we're a wealthy country again. Last week, as you know, they found $31 billion. They came to see me. Sir, we found $31 billion. They said, we don't know why. I said, was this a good find or a bad find? It was a good find. It was a plus 31. We're used to finding negative 31s, right, for the last 30 years. I said, check the tariff shelf. Well, those tariffs haven't kicked in. Yes, they did. They kicked in 2 months ago. Check it. He comes back 2 hours later. Sir, you were right. We have an additional $31 billion, not million, Lindsay, billion, that we just found from tariffs. They kicked in earlier than we thought. You were right. We're a wealthy nation again, and we're a nation that can be secure. We're a nation that can start paying down our debt. And with tariffs, we're the wealthiest nation ever in the history of the world. Without them, we've got a slog. We've got a slog. But remember this, other nations, including China, Japan, European nations, they used tariffs against us for many years. That's why we owe $37 trillion. That's why. But they used tariffs very successfully against us, and we had presidents that never fought it. But now you have a president that does fight it.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is beef from Argentina.
President Trump speaking to reporters over the weekend, and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins on News Nation's The Hill.
I literally just came from a roundtable with about 20 of our greatest American ranchers from all over, a lot of the West, a lot of the Middle, Nebraska, where Senator Fisher's from, and it was a great couple hours together. Talking about the beef, the president has always been very resolute in his couple of big promises to the American people. First, to secure the border. Second, to make America America again. Live the American dream. Be able to afford feeding and supporting your family. And so the idea that he is looking at all aspects and how we ensure that Americans have everything they need, including beef. But one thing I think is important to realize is that 12 million metric tons a year is what Americans consume in beef. 10 million we produce and consume of our own beef, and 2 million we import. So when the president says that he's looking at Argentina or perhaps other countries, that won't be too much of a huge differential for what we currently have.
So what's the plan?
We're still in discussions. I know I've talked to the president a lot. But again, he is very convicted how important it is to make sure that first goal, that Americans can feed their families the best food that we have available, which is a little Maha Nutrition, another show, another time with you and me. But secondly, no one has been more outspoken or, I believe, more supportive of our farmers and our ranchers than this president has.
But no doubt, the cattle industry upset. Colin Woodall, CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, we are extremely concerned with the plan, but probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So, in fact, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers, and it negates so much of the work that we have done over the years to build the overall quality of our product, a quality that we're very proud of. When you see the amount of beef that is grading choice and prime, the consumer likes what we are giving them, and they've made it very clear that they want more of it, and that's why demand remains at almost a 40-year high, and that the consumer is still buying our great product. And unfortunately, the president's plan will have a huge impact on how we as cattle producers can capitalize on that.
And explains why comments like this are so dangerous.
It was pretty simple. Come talk to us. You know, we've had a great relationship with the White House and with the Secretary of Agriculture. They know that we are good partners and we have facts and figures. Just come visit with us and we can talk through any issue that pops up. But there also needs to be a realization from the president, from the secretary, that any offhanded comment, as innocuous as they may think that it is, can have huge ramifications on the marketplace. And we saw that on Friday when the futures markets just absolutely crashed. And that cost this industry and a lot of cattle producers a lot of money. And for nothing more than just a passing comment on a plan that wasn't even fully formed. And that is unfortunate that this is not just about what could happen to us financially if the president moves forward with this plan, but what has already hit us as cattle producers just simply because of his comments.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Certainly kind of a low volume trade day here. And I think, you know, the lack of government, you know, reporting data is really starting to kind of show through here just a little bit. And
Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing.
With that, you know, I don't know, I guess you can view it in a good perspective or a bad perspective, or a little bit more captive to whatever, you know, traditional and social media headlines we can find out there. And today, I think, you know, the U.S.-China trade potential negotiations are really back in a spotlight. Trump held a meeting with the GOP, caucus here this morning or during lunchtime. And one of the statements he made was that while he expects a great deal with China and a fruitful meeting with President Xi, he's also not sure that meeting is going to happen. So we've got a lot going on. We've got Secretary Bessent going to meet with the Chinese counterparts here in Malaysia this week. And then we've got supposedly a Trump-Xi meeting or hopefully happening around the APEC summit in South Korea at the end of next week. And so all eyes are kind of glued to these headlines right now. We don't have a lot to work with, Tony. We've, you know, consolidated some of these gains in corn here and beans kind of, you know, we've been on a good move here and there's been some optimism around a trade deal, but I think there are still a lot of question marks and twists and turns in that story before we get to a final conclusion.
This is a corn market seeing outstanding export sales.
It's a market that's well supported because of the demand that you're speaking of. On the other side of that equation, we also have, you know, we don't have confirmation from the government or the USDA just yet, but we know that we're harvesting a record corn crop in the U.S. And part of that is because of where yields are. Probably a bigger part of that is just how high the acreage was this year and what it meant with those higher yields. So it's the classic big supply, big demand, and what changes here in the marketplace to make that market either tighten or get even looser here or heavier. And, you know, we've been hitting kind of on all cylinders of demand here. Our feed demand has been spectacular considering the number of animals that we have. We have been feeding those animals to higher weights. Our ethanol demand and margins have been positive. They've come under a little bit of pressure here as the oil prices have backed up and we've seen some pressure on the production margins, but they're hanging in there. And certainly export demand is the shining star here. And the problem with that export demand, it's only about 18% of our overall demand. And while we're looking like we may even outperform the record, you know, projection from the USDA that we have in the 25-26 balance sheet, we're also facing a lot of competition come early next year from other parts of the world. And, you know, we'll do well and we've got our fair share, but we need that demand to stay up and stay durable here as we move forward.
Now we're ruffling feathers with Colombia.
Last year, they were the number three importer of U.S. corn, and they took about 11% of all of our exports. So certainly that's an important part of keeping this demand kind of paradigm together going forward. And, you know, there's not been a big reaction by Colombia thus far to the, I guess, the tariff and sanction threats from President Trump here on Sunday and early this week. But, you know, we'll have to see how that story plays out. It's certainly on the market's radar here going forward. And it's, again, you know, those headwinds for how do we get the corn market higher, and we kind of continue to place these barriers in front of that. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at is a big wheat crop that's going to compete in a feed ration for corn, and certainly a big sorghum crop. As you mentioned earlier, talking about some sorghum and you know, what happened there with the export shipments. But, you know, a pretty big crop there, pretty good yields in the western part of the belt here, particularly, you know, the Kansas, Oklahomas of the world. And, you know, we had some cash, you know, sorghum values with a three in front of them, you know, out in those parts of the world and, or, you know, have a $3 handle type of a low. And so it's, you know, all those things can, you know, are on top of the corn market, despite the good demand that we have. And I think have some challenges to sustaining a rally, I think is maybe a way to view that.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Senate Republicans have already voted 11 times to get our government back and open for business. We have record business.
Speaking Tuesday at a luncheon with Republican senators at the Rose Garden. President Donald Trump on tariffs.
We're going to be, I think by the time I had my, I hit month number 12, I think we're going to have $20 trillion of investment. We're over 17 right now. As an example, President Biden had less than a trillion for 4 years. We're going to have $20 trillion in less than 12 months, and we're over 17 trillion right now. So it's the largest amount in our country by far, by many times. That's in our country. But here's the one. It's the largest amount in the history of the world. There's never been a country that's had anywhere near 17, or it will be 20, and it's going up fast. A lot of it's because of tariffs, because they're coming in because they don't want to pay tariffs. In other words, they make their product in a certain country, and they used to just send it in here, and there was no charge, absolutely. Now, if they have to pay a 20%, 30%, 50%, 100%, or 2% tariff, they say, well, it's better if I build my plant in the United States. It always amazed me for 10, you know, I did this first term. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country in first term. We had COVID and we did a good job with that. That was a curse for every country in the world. It was terrible, but we had the greatest economy we ever had. If you remember, I started the tariffs, but I held it off because it wouldn't have exactly been good at the time to tell France, you know what they were going through, you know what Spain was going through and Italy was going through, that, by the way, we're going to charge you tariffs.
President also addressing China.
I had started the process. We were going, the country was doing good, and I took in hundreds of billions of dollars from China. I put the full tariffs on China. Biden left the tariffs because he couldn't. It was too much money, but they gave so many exceptions that they were essentially meaningless. In other words, here's the tariffs, but you don't have to pay if you look at somebody the wrong way. You don't have to pay. So they didn't pay very much. But with me, they were paying hundreds of billions of dollars. And again, I have a great relationship with President Xi. I expect to be able to make a good deal with him. And I want him to make a good deal for China. But it's got to be fair. For years, they were making $500, $600, $700 billion. $700 billion. And we'd be making nothing. It was a one-sided. We built their military. We built China's military with the money that we lost for so many years getting ripped off. So now we're going to have a fair deal. I think we're going to have a very successful meeting. Certainly there are a lot of people that are waiting for it. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe it won't happen. Things can happen where, for instance, maybe somebody will say, I don't want to meet. It's too nasty. But it's really not nasty. It's just business. And we're going to do a good job representing you people and representing the people of our country.
But speaking of fair deals, the president on social media Wednesday saying the cattle ranchers who I love don't understand that the only reason they're doing so well for the first time in decades is because I put tariffs on cattle coming into the United States, including a 50% tariff on Brazil. If it weren't for me, they would be doing just as they've done for the past 20 years. Terrible. It would be nice if they would understand that, but they also have to get their prices down because the consumer is a very big factor in my thinking also. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.